welcome to the Neat Beans and Collard Greens podcast. I'm your host, Brian Hopps.
I'm your host, David.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
This week is the week before Christmas, or possibly the week of Christmas. I didn't actually look at the calendar.
I just remember.
Know that this is the week it's coming out before. So we're recording. And this week we're going to talk about the best holiday movies. But before we get to that, well, not best, but our favorite holiday movies. And before we get to that, David, what's new with you? It's been a minute since we've recorded.
It has been a minute. It's been an exciting minute. The biggest thing that happened, I'll go in reverse order, I guess. The biggest thing that happened is I bought a new car. Super pumped about it. It was a decision that I had been debating for a long time, and I finally just decided, screw it, I'll just go do it, because I needed to anyways. The next thing is I passed one of my certification tests, so one down, one to go, woohoo. Yeah, getting into a lot of music lately, driving around a lot. I've put 600 miles on my car in about 2 weeks, so.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah. It's been pretty chill.
What type of car did you get?
I got a Honda Accord Sport.
Okay, and that color is?
Oh, black. All the way.
And the license plate number and registration?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The VIN number is.
Very nice, very nice. What was your certification for?
So I have to take 2 tests before I can become a teacher. But which is, you're like, huh?
I thought you were teaching.
I were teaching, but because of the world shutting down in March, I had my tests scheduled, but I think it came down to like days before, like maybe a week max before I got an email and they were like, hey, we're not doing tests. So I kind of got screwed there, but luckily before I graduated, my university worked it out with the Texas Educators Agency, and the people that couldn't take the test were able to get a 1-year probationary certification. And all I have to do is pass my test before next year starts. So,
very nice, very nice.
I finally got one in. I've been trying to schedule it for months.
Heck yeah, dude.
That was good.
All right, all right.
How are you, Brian?
I'm doing well. I don't know if I've talked about this yet on the podcast. I think it's the reason we didn't record for a couple of weeks is I've been picking up work in ATL in Yollywood, as it's called, working on film sets. And I've been doing that. And I also recently left my job at the hospital, which was a nice just kind of like weight off my shoulders. I was talking with my friend Tyler, who was the one who got me like kind of my in over there. Mm-hmm. And he and I were talking about it, and he's like, yeah, it's so hard to go to back to another job after you like you do this for a little while, because you're just like, this is super exciting, it's super fun, and it's like it's what you want to be doing. And then like trying to go back to a temporary part-time job somewhere else just is real, real hard to do. And I was like, yeah, and that's why I'm not going to do it anymore. So that's where we're at. But we're having a grand old time. Grand Old Opry, grand which I think is in Tennessee. Opry. Where's the Grand Old Opry? No, is that Tennessee? Yeah. Google it.
You want me to Google it right now? All right. No. I Google it. You, Phil.
No, I'm going to Google it as well. Okay. Who can Google it faster? The Grand Old Opry.
Grand Old Opry tickets.
Nashville, Tennessee. Nailed it. All right. Oh, my goodness.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Since we recorded last, I believe, I think by the time this comes out, those of you that actually know me will see them. I got to visit our great friend, Lisette Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
That was a while back now, but they are being edited.
Beautiful.
It was more of a hang, but we just met up in Austin and walked around the UT campus and took some pictures, and it was fun. Very, very cool. Very cool to see her, considering she lives in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah, because she was down visiting, right?
Yeah, she was just here for a couple weeks.
Cool. Well,
cool, let's Brian.
Pump up the jams, David. Pump
up the jam.
Pump it up. Something.
All right, don't that's 5 seconds. Part. We can't do anymore.
Cool. I thought it was 10, but is it 10? I'm not sure. Whatever. I think it's 10. I thought the rule was 10.
All right, are we doing worst to best or best to worst? Are we just like, Nate, what are we doing?
My list is my not least favorite, but like top five faves, and then like starting with my number five and then ending with my number one. I figured was the way to do this.
Let's do it.
And we'll compare. I'm going to have you go ahead and go first.
No. Okay.
I said I was doing it, so we're doing it.
Are we...
So like you give one and then I'll talk about my number five and we'll go back and forth until we reach our number ones.
So do you want me to give like a synopsis of the movie?
However you want to talk about it.
Okay.
Go for it. So why you like it, why you don't like it.
This is going to be the most surprising pick of the bunch.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, I watched this year round, but it's a Christmas movie. My number five is Jingle All the Way.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one, so I'm going to go.
No, I got it pulled up on IMDb right now. It has Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. It says, a father vows to get his son a Turbo Man action figure for Christmas. However, every store is sold out of them, and he must travel all over town to compete with everybody else in order to find it. So it's kind of like a Black Friday holiday movie, and there's a bunch of things that happen. And now that I've watched it, I don't remember the last time I watched it. It got a 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
But to be fair, most holiday movies don't do super well.
Yeah, there's a couple that did decently. But like there's a point in the movie where, like, I guess we'll just put spoilers on this, but like nobody's seeing this movie. This movie's 24 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, dog, this movie's from the 90s. If you haven't seen it by now, you're not seeing it anytime soon.
There's one point where he like breaks into the Turbo Man factory or something and becomes Turbo Man, and his son sees it and he's like, my dad's Turbo Man, and it like goes crazy. Metacritic, nice. Metascore gave it a 34 out of 100.
Good lord. That's
so, I mean, now that I don't remember the last time I saw it, but it's a really bad movie. For some reason, I enjoyed it. Horrible acting, horrible premise, but it does get you in the Christmas feels, because it's got some like Black Friday shopping feeling, you know what I mean?
Okay. All right. My number five pick, you will never guess this. Do you want to try?
No, I don't.
Okay, probably a good choice. My number five pick for favorite Christmas movies. I realized recently that I don't actually know that many Christmas movies, or at least none that either, are memorable, actually. Because I was like, they're all just the same story most of the time. But this is my number five pick. It is got a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb. So like,
that's pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Got that 49 on Metacritic. Not great.
Not great.
And I'll give you the brief synopsis of it. While the holiday season represents the most magical time of year, ancient European folklore warns of Krampus, a horned beast who punishes naughty children at Christmas time. Baby, when I tell you I went with two of my friends to see this movie in theaters when we were home from school our sophomore year of college, and we were just like, yeah, why not? It looks like a bad enough film. Let's go check it out. And we went and watched it, and I was on board for like 90% of the movie, but there were just some parts where I was like, dude, what is going on? What is happening? And just the ending, I was like, that's your story, that's your ending. Okay,
that's pretty funny. I remember when that came out and I was like, what is happening?
I just think what I like about it is that it has a fond memory for me of like the time spent with my friends who I hadn't seen in like a year and a half, and it was the first time we'd all been like together after college because we were all off doing our own stuff during the summers. It was a good time. Krampus. Don't recommend seeing it, but I recommend finding a movie like that for you and your crew. You know, that's my recommendation. All right, breezing past number four, David, what you got?
I have a quick question about Krampus. Was it scary or was it just bad?
It was like comedic. The
like, was it trying to be scary and it was failing, or was it actually trying to be funny?
There were two different Krampuses. There was the 2015 Krampus, and then there was the 2016 right. Krampus. And the 2015 Krampus has, like, I think his name's Adam Scott, who's the guy from the Parks and Rec, is where he got famous. Yeah, so it's got, like, Adam Scott as the leader. He's opposite Toni Collette. And so, like, those two are not bad, but, like, it's got way too much humor to be, like, a scary movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you can have, like, scary movies that have, like, some comedy to them, like, and then you have movies that are, like, comedy with, like, a little bit of horror there, and, like, those ones don't work as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's, like, it falls in line to me with, like, The Babysitter, where it's that kind of campy horror where, like, you know it's scary, but it's not that scary.
Right.
So yeah, that's just.
I got you.
Yeah. All right. So what's yours? What's your number four, David?
Number four on most watched and most favorite Christmas movie. I'll give you the. I like this score idea. So it got a 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb. Okay. Metacritic gave it a 61. We're good. Oh, not bad. Up.
Okay.
We're moving up.
Okay.
Popularity is up 95%. On Christmas Eve, a young boy embarks on a magical adventure to the North Pole while learning about friendship,
Polar bravery, Express,
and the spirit of Christmas. This is the Polar Express.
Yeah.
What an incredible movie. When I saw it the first time, I thought the animation was just nuts. And I still think it's very, not futuristic anymore, I used to, but it's really unique. Nobody's really
Yeah, it has its own very, like, it has a very nice style to it.
Yeah, I love the style. And now I watch it and it looks a little dated, but it's still, at this point, I just am just more appreciative of the entire movie in general. Because, you know, Tom Hanks does an incredible job, as he usually does. And I think, as you said, most Christmas movies are the same. I think when this movie came out, it was a very unique idea and it did it very well. It was just
what year did that come out in?
2004. Yeah.
Okay.
And holy cow, the soundtrack.
Yeah. The soundtrack for that movie is so gold. It's real good. Real, real good. Real, real good stuff.
Real, real.
All right. You ready for my number four?
I'm ready for number four.
All right. My number four came in with a 6.9 on IMDb and a 64 on Metacritic, but an 84 on Rotten Tomatoes. So, like, it's up there.
Dang. That means it's pretty good.
Yeah. This is a movie that, like, I put on this list because I've never actually seen it the way start to finish.
Oh, so you've seen parts of it.
But I know it's, like, got a deep, warm place in the hearts of many other people, and I can appreciate that, you know, for, like, what the season is and things like that. And, like, I know a lot of people who this is, like, one of their favorite movies, and they love it to death. But Buddy was accidentally transported to the North Pole as a toddler and raised to adulthood among Santa's elves. So, yeah, like, the movie Elf, which, I've never seen start to finish. I just know the basic premise of it. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, so many people love this movie. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll put it up there as, like, a good Christmas movie. I've never seen it.
You should watch it all the way through.
I should watch all the way through.
It's worth seeing just once all the way through.
It is currently.
It's really good.
It's only, like, 17 years old. So, yeah. It's
only? Not
that
old.
It's only old
That means
enough
Will
to
Ferrell
drive.
Is 17 years older than he was in that movie.
Yeah, he's like 60-something now, I think.
He's getting there.
No, he's got to be at least... No, how old is he? Hang on. We're gonna
figure out how...
go ahead and start on your number three, and I'll tell you how
number old three on the list. A lot of mine have really big main roles. So, like, Jingle All the Way is Arnold. The Polar Express is Tom Hanks. Number three... Man, mine are old. I didn't know some of these movies were that old. The star of this show is Tim Allen, and you probably ought to know what movie it is. When a man inadvertently makes Santa fall off his roof on Christmas Eve, he finds himself magically recruited to take his place. This is
Santa
the
Claus.
The original Santa Claus.
Yeah.
IMDb gave it a 6.5. Metacritic gave it a 57. I think it's better than that, but I think it's like the quirkiness is what gives it that low score. But holy cow. All of these movies on this list I still watch during the Christmas time, except Jingle All the Way, because it's just really bad. But the Santa Claus is definitely, it was really hard to pick between my top three because I knew exactly what they were. I was like, it's this, this, and this. And I had to figure out what order to put them in. I think they made like four of these. The first one's the only one worth watching. Because it just happens again.
Yeah.
Or he's still Santa Claus or
and
something.
And then isn't like the third one like Fred Claus where it's Vince Vaughn and like...
Yeah, like, no, he's like the ice guy or whatever. I don't know. I don't remember exactly. But, man, I still make this reference. Sometimes I'll look at my sisters, after we eat or like something, I'm like self-conscious about my body. But like, I'll pull my shirt up. And I'll, like, grab my stomach, and I'll be like, I'm so fat. And they're like, no, you're not. And I'll look at them, and I'll go, does this look like a little weight to you? Because that's the scene, Tim Allen, where he, like, adds, I don't know, 20 pounds overnight or something.
Yeah.
And his wife or whatever is just like, oh, it's just a little weight. And he, like, grabs his stomach and shakes it and goes, does this look like a little weight to you? It's just such a – Tim Allen is great in that movie. He's perfectly cast for that.
Yeah.
For that. So – that is my number three. Brian, what you got for me?
For my number three...
Did you just look something up?
What? Oh, I did, yes. Will Ferrell is 53 years old.
Wow, Will Ferrell is 53. That makes me feel really old.
I
don't know.
I thought
old.
He was in like his 60s, but...
I thought he was... I guess I thought he was around 50.
Yeah. He's older... Or he's younger than I thought he was. He looks older than he is.
Yes.
But anyway... So for my number three pick for holiday movie, it is a 2000 or it's now a 20-year-old live action movie.
Ooh.
Came out in the year 2000. Got a 6.2. Go for it. Guess.
Hoodwinked Christmas.
There's not a Hoodwinked Christmas. Hoodwinked didn't come out till 2005. My guy.
Clearly. Don't judge me like that. That's a good guess. If there was one, like, it would be on this list.
Episode or two, we talked about that. Maybe three episodes ago, we talked about when Hoodwinked came out in 2000.
Okay, but I don't remember that.
Shame, shame, shame.
You're saying you want me to remember a conversation we had over a month ago? Yeah, that's more than one day, so that's pretty hard for me to do.
Anyway, 6.2 on IMDb, 49 on Rotten Tomatoes. But this movie... I can't even read the description without it giving it away right away, so I'm just going to say it. The 2000 live-action adaptation of How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey.
Mm.
Because that movie, with the exception of, like, the hairstyle on Cindy Lou Who, everything about that movie is spot on. It's
Jim Carrey is incredible in that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
He's incredible. He's incredible. I haven't seen the new one.
The one that came out 2 years ago?
Did he do it again? Was it Jim Carrey again?
I don't know if it was Jim Carrey in the new one.
I want to say... Are you looking it up?
I am currently looking it up.
I'll go ahead and say my number two. My number two.
Oh, wow. No, it is Benedict Cumberbatch. Was the Grinch in the new one?
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So, like, maybe I want to see that. That's a different vibe, though. It's not Jim Carrey. And in my head, since I was born.
And you only saw our dear friend Jim as the lead, you're like, that's not supposed to be him.
Yeah. Dang, that came out in 2018. Benedict Cumberbatch. Yep.
Jeez.
That's crazy. Okay, no, that's definitely budget. A different vibe.
It made a lot in the box office. Holy cow.
So my number two, I'm going to go ahead and
go for
give you, it's a 6.2. It's got a 46 on Metascore. On the outskirts of Whoville lives a green, revenge-seeking Grinch who plans to ruin Christmas for all the citizens of town.
Wait, what? Read that again?
It's
the Grinch, right?
On the outskirts of Whoville lives a
green,
revenge-seeking Grinch. It's something different than you read. I just wanted to be interesting.
Okay.
It's the same Grinch. Jim Carrey, the Grinch, number two. Because Jim Carrey, honestly, if it weren't for something that I'll tell you later and just remind me, like, this would be my number one because Jim Carrey is just
great.
Yeah, he's just great. He puts on a show. It makes me interested how Benedict Cumberbatch does. I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, it's available, according to the internet, on every major streaming service. So you can go watch the 2018 version of The Grinch, and you'll have to let me know how it is, because I will watch it.
Why? Because you don't want to not see Jim Carrey?
No, I just don't want to spend the time to watch the story again. So,
got it.
Yeah.
I understand. All right.
My number two came in at an 8.2 on IMDb, a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 72 wow. on Metacritic. And the synopsis is New York City policeman John McClane is visiting his estranged wife and two daughters on Christmas Eve. He joins her at a holiday party in the headquarters of the Japanese-owned business she works for, but the festivities are interrupted by a group of terrorists who take over the exclusive high-rise and everyone in it. Very soon, McClane realizes that there's no one to save the hostages but him. My number two pick for Christmas movies is Die Hard, because while people don't want to claim it's a Christmas movie, it literally starts and takes place on Christmas. There's Christmas decorations in several scenes, and it takes place on Christmas. And if you have a problem with this and you're listening, you can at me. I don't care. I'll defend this. Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Die Hard is a Christmas... Never mind.
We're going to say
it's a Christmas movie? I won't argue. That's fine. Yeah, no.
It's a Christmas movie directed by
John. I haven't seen Die Hard.
Well, I know what you're doing this Christmas.
Seen Die Hard. I'd rather watch Benedict Cumberbatch.
You can watch both.
Where is Die Hard on a streaming service, Dina?
I mean, I'm sure you can find it.
It's probably one of those free movies on like series. Crackle or something.
Heck yeah, dude. Don't talk bad about Crackle. Crackle's where it's at, my guy.
Die Hard came out in 1988.
Yeah, it's an old movie.
Wow. But Bruce Willis is a beast, so.
It's a Christmas classic, my guy.
Yeah, okay.
Staple of the holiday season.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Anyway. What
Brian, would you like to do your number one first?
No, you can do your number one first.
Okay, my number one first has already been said, so I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Oh, wait, what did I say? Is it Elf?
It's Elf.
Nice.
Elf is my favorite Christmas movie. So nice. Since I was a kid, since this movie came out in like 04 or something, let me double check that. 2003, sorry. Since this movie came out, I've watched it at least once a year.
Wow.
For the past 17 years of my life.
Jesus.
Sometimes more than once a year. I think I've seen it more than my favorite movie, which is... Do you remember?
Wait, your favorite movie?
Uh-huh.
Man, I was just giving you so much crap about not remembering what year Hoodwinked came out, and I've already forgotten what your favorite movie is.
I know, that's why I said it. It's Hot Rod.
Oh, right, with my boy Andy Samberg.
Yeah, that movie is so funny. I think I've seen Elf more than I've seen Hot Rod. So while I'm watching it with my family once a year, all of us quote the entire movie.
Jesus.
It's for a Christmas movie, it's so quotable the entire year. Which is so funny, because every time I burp, I go, "Did you hear that?" And then, you know, when people put things in their coffee, I go, "Syrup and coffee? Why didn't I think of that?" Because there's a scene where this guy's pouring alcohol in his coffee, and he thinks
it's syrup.
He thinks it's syrup, and he pours it in his coffee, and he gets super drunk in the mailroom. it's a really good movie. I'm like semi salty about it just because I've seen it so many times. I'm just so tired of it. But yeah, it's definitely my most watched and still favorite Christmas movie. I've yet to watch it this year. I need to watch it.
Well, you got time. You got a couple more days till Crim Cram.
Brian?
Yes.
Another drum roll.
So, this one came out before things like IMDb and, Metacritic and things of that sort. But are you familiar with the series of stop animation films that are all the Rudolph series? You know what I'm talking about? Rudolph.
I didn't know it was a series. I know about. I've seen it.
There's like the original one, and then there's like a couple other ones. But my personal favorite of all of them, just all of them, is The Year Without a Santa Claus, which isn't the like original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer movie, right? The original one is the one where it's just like the story of Rudolph and like how he saves Christmas and this, that, and the other. But there's one called The Year Without a Santa Claus, which is where Santa's missing because he's been kidnapped by someone and I forgot who it is. But
Rudolph... Is this a series with the snowman that narrates it?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. What was his name? Oh my gosh.
Sure. Yep. I don't remember.
Keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
The reason I love this film so much, and it will always be like my favorite holiday movie, is for a very specific, like 3 minutes of the film. That's just my favorite thing ever. And it's when they have to go meet with the two people who control the weather, because the only person that will help them wants the weather to change, but the weather won't change because neither of the brothers will concede and like accept it or whatever. And I just love how like big, brassy, and bold that both of them are, because they do the Snow Miser song followed immediately by the Heat Miser song. And I love just how witty those are, how funny they are, and just the energy that both of them bring.
Those shout songs out are
to
great.
My boys Dick Sean, who played the Snow Miser, and George S. Irving, who played the Heat Miser, because they killed it on those vocals. But it's just very funny to me. Like, it's, I love that sequence as a whole, and I could watch it all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's just it's so much trombone, and I think that's what I love about it. It starts out, and that's how it just goes for like the next 3 minutes. It's so good. Mm-hmm. It's so
Sam
good.
Sam the Snowman.
Sam the Snowman. That was his name? Sam?
Just Sam.
Weak.
I don't think I've ever seen, that's kind of like your Elf for me. I don't think I've seen any of them all the way through. But I do remember the beginning, and it was always Sam the Snowman talking about like what's happening and what's going on before the story starts. That little thing at the beginning.
That fill in where it was him talking and like sitting or whatever, and he would do his thing to explain whatever movie you were about to watch.
Yeah.
I can make it. That was a good one.
What a
good movie.
A great list.
What a solid list. I would have put Die Hard at the top if it weren't for a Heat Miser, Snow Miser song.
That's something you would do. It's so funny.
And that's why I did it. That's why it's on the list.
The same people, the people that put Die Hard on the top of their Christmas list are also people who don't break Kit Kat bars when they eat them.
I mean, wait, you're supposed to break, don't break the, oh, got it. Got it.
Because you're the kind of person that just opens the plastic.
I follow. Yes. And, no, I know. I know what you're trying to say. Look, you don't have to tell me. I was there. I know what I did. I'm aware of the evil that I am. This is weird. Robbie, cut this.
So now that we have set our list, by the way, I think it was funny that we had
two overlapping. Yeah. The Grinch.
Mine were pretty basic. You went with Die Hard, which I would probably put it on there if I've seen it before. What'd you say about Elf?
Oh, I was just saying the Grinch and Elf were the two that overlapped, just to recap.
I don't know if you do, because we talked about this briefly, but I have to mention
your favorite Christmas album.
Christmas album of all time. Should I just go for it? Or do you want me to like,
I mean, you can do your build up, you can just like lay it out and then explain it. Do what you feel is right.
Came out in this album came out in 1998. Okay. So you've got your Michael Bublé.
Bubbly, yeah.
You've got your Frank Sinatra, you've got your a lot of people do Christmas albums. I believe Seth MacFarlane did a Christmas album.
He definitely did.
It's probably pretty amazing.
It's very good.
But this was a pop band at the time, and you know they were huge in 98, and them and then like their equivalent kind of the same music were just my thing. I was 2 years old when this album came out, and since then every year my family gets together and we put up the Christmas tree at my mom's house, and this is the first album that we put on, followed by Clay Aiken's Christmas album, which is honestly put on as a joke, because when he sings Joy to the World, he says joy in the funniest way possible. So like the beginning, it's like a choir, like a children's choir or something, and the first word he says is joy when he sings, and it's the funniest. I invite everyone listening to go look up the Clay Aiken Joy to the World, and it's just hilarious, and we always make fun of it. This album, it's called Home for Christmas, okay? It is by the incredibly talented five-person boy band NSYNC.
Okay.
NSYNC's Home for Christmas. Okay. You know what NSYNC's music sounds like, so you're like, okay, cool, just like plug that into some Christmas music. That's exactly what the entire album is. There's a couple of originals, which is why I like it, because nowadays when people make Christmas albums, they just sing chestnuts roasting on an open fire, jingle bells, blah, 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 like just the things that everybody knows. But the whole point of this is being home for Christmas. So like the first song is called Home for Christmas, and then it's Under My Tree, I Never Knew the Meaning of Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. There's only, I think, three or four unoriginal songs on here. And there's 14 songs on this album. You know, there's like the Kiss Me at Midnight stuff, and then there's All I Want for Christmas, All I Want Is You. And then there's like the First Noel, and then Oh Holy Night. But most of them is original, which is why I really like it. And nobody's tried to remake the NSYNC Christmas music.
Because I feel like that came out at a very specific time when it was right for it.
Are you a fan of, I don't know, I guess I'm going to make it vague and say pop Christian music. Sorry, Christmas music.
Not particularly.
I am currently teaching Christmas music to my kids.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a junior high band
director. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's what you do when you teach band.
So, I'm teaching. We have some cool pieces. We have Deck the Halls with Dazzling Drummers.
Okay.
Which is like a drum-heavy piece, which is kind of cool. And then we have some basic stuff, and I'm just so tired of those basic songs. And I make junior high references all the time. Like, one of my bands is playing Silver Bells. When they're playing slow or they're playing bad, I tell them those bells are very rusty.
Okay. I would have to say my favorite Christmas album isn't like an album. I guess you could count it as an album because at the time it was released, it was like a single and it wasn't on an extended play or anything. But it's written by John Rocks, but performed by Gayla Peavy in 1953. It peaked on the billboards at number 24 in December of 1953.
Wow.
Yeah. And I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. So that's
what a classic.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that song was
that old. It's 77, or no, I can't do math.
67
years old.
Yeah.
Dang, son. That's an old track.
old track. But a good one. B-side. I kind of forgot about that until you said it.
So that good. Or All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
That's also a good one, yeah.
That's also a banger. I remember there was one Christmas where both of my front teeth had fallen off. Not fallen off, fallen out.
Off of what?
My face, obviously. But they're both just gone. And, oh, Lord, I heard the joke, what do you want for Christmas? Your two front teeth? So many times that year.
So from, like, times. Older people, they're like, what do you want, little boy?
I mean, from just, like, everyone. And I was just like, good That's Lord.
So funny.
But, yeah. Do you have anything to talk about, David? Do you want to get real?
We can get real about let's do a brief video game segment real quick.
Ooh, okay.
Because it's December now, so it's Techtember. You know, Techtober, Techtember, a lot thing? Of tech comes out, a lot of video games come out.
Okay, I'll just trust
Destiny
you.
Destiny 2, never heard of that. Beyond Light. The DLC came out a couple weeks ago. Okay. I've already hit the soft cap and power level.
Nice. Good job. Proud of you.
So now it's just grind. And it's just so fun, dude. I've spent over $200 on Destiny over the past, I don't know, 5 years since it came out. Absolutely worth it because, I don't know, I'm in love with that game. Getting into the more hardcore stuff now, which is cool. And I don't know if you are as into it as I am, but this Wednesday, Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, wait, is it 77?
Yes.
I thought it was 2073. I'm probably just definitely wrong on that.
2077.
That would explain why former guest Rashad asked me earlier. He's like, "You getting Cyberpunk?" And I was like, "I don't know, probably not." He's like, "Why? You're not excited?" I was like, "I mean, it doesn't. It's not resonating any frequencies with me." So,
yeah, I've been on that train for, I don't know, 5 years since it
was
announced.
I think you have talked to me about that game more than any other game, like collectively.
I'm really excited. People have already gotten it, so a couple of leaks are coming out, but they're shutting them down pretty quickly.
Oh, I bet.
But that's all I'll say. It's a great time to get into video games. I think you send me things sometimes and I send you things, and the fact that you and I switched to PC at just, I don't know, in my opinion, like the perfect time, because people are making games for their console and the PC, and getting a PC is becoming cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real.
I'm waiting to find out is, I'm very excited. They already announced their first major update for Call of Duty Cold War. And it's supposed
to have that.
Merge. Yeah, I'm digging it so far. It's interesting. It's got some cool spy stuff, which, fun fact, I wanted to be a spy when I grew up, but not average looking enough.
But you got your two
enough.
Front teeth instead.
No, yeah, I got my two front teeth instead of being a spy. But yeah, that one's been good. I'm interested to see how they royally destroy Warzone and Black Ops at the same time with this update that's supposed to roll out on Tuesday. So that should be interesting.
So are they releasing a completely different Warzone, or are they just updating?
No, they're updating the current Warzone and putting all of the like Black Ops stuff into it as it rolls out, like all the weapons.
Oh, so the old stuff, old weapons will stay in the game?
Yes. So they're available because like Warzone's being treated as its own entity now. That's like the bridge between Modern Warfare and Black Ops.
Which is good, in my opinion.
Yes.
I agree with that.
And so that's what they're doing right now. And so whenever they like roll out new content for Black Ops or Modern Warfare, everything gets also put into Warzone. And so
that's kind of like, cool. That's a lot of weapons, though.
Yeah, there's a thick variety in Modern War or in Warzone right now.
I feel like,
but everyone still just uses the M4 and laser beams you from across the map. So,
yeah, and if they're gonna add the Black Ops guns into the wars, I feel like, because I don't know, we're getting technical here, but like the time to kill in Modern Warfare is so short
compared to Black Ops.
So I'm really interested to see. I have not played Cold War at all. I really want it, but I just can't justify $60 right now.
The zombies is very fun, and the campaign's really interesting. Multiplayer, I've gotten to a point where most games, multiplayer, I'm like, take it or leave it. Multiplayer no longer is a selling point for me that will bring my heartstrings into it.
That's the only thing I want to play. And I think we've said this before. I wish Call of Duty would separate Warzone multiplayer and campaign and zombies. Like, if I could buy one of them, I would be totally down for that. You can sell them for like $20. That's like $80 for the whole game. So you can make technically more money, you know.
Shh, David, you're about to have the FBI show up at your house if you talk too loud.
You know, I don't think Activision
pays attention to us.
I don't think Activision pays attention to anybody who plays their game, so.
Oof. Yikes.
But yeah, I'm actually interested to see Warzone become like the bridge. I wonder if, like, are they going to change the engine?
That's, you know, a great question. I don't know what's going to happen.
If they don't, I don't want to play it, because, like, I want a new engine and, like, a new feeling and a new environment and stuff.
Like, right now, it's still the same thing.
Right.
And it's just got, like, they're filtering in Black Ops weapons and character skins and things like that.
Interesting.
Which is very funny, because, like, the Black Ops characters look totally out of place.
Like, I bet, dude.
Like, I was playing,
it's like Modern Warfare is technically in the year 2019.
Day. Yeah, and it's like present day.
Cold War is
60s, 70s.
40 years before that. Yeah. 50 like, years before that.
We were playing earlier today, and in the dropship, my current character is someone from Cold War, and she's got on like a bomber jacket and like thick sunglasses and a beanie.
Yes.
And like just thick, like high-waisted denim jeans. And then it's like you see like her walk to the front of the plane and then three dudes in modern day ghillie suits, and you're like, that what? But
that's anyway, pretty funny.
That's our tech corner. Briefly, short little synopsis.
I'm really sorry to wrap up our tech corner. I'm really getting into keyboards and mice and like
mouses,
mice.
Anyways,
it's really fun. Like I have a hobby within a hobby now. But yeah, Brian,
David,
do you have anything you want to say before we wrap up? Probably the last episode of 2020.
I just want to say happy holidays. Get that sauce. Get it all over everything. I can't think of the last time I had hollandaise sauce. Is that the one they put on Eggs Benedict? Yeah. So then, yeah, actually yesterday
morning. Get it all over Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, we have just changed our rating from G to PG-13. Oh, yeah.
Mary Chrysler.
Happy holidays.
Happy crisis.
And say happy crisis.
Yeah.
Merry International Crisis. Yeah. That one's a little too close.
You know that
to
Vine
home.
Where she said, happy crimin.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And then she
about.
Goes, Merry Crisis. And then she goes, Merry Chrysler. If this is the last episode of 2020.
Yeah.
Just want to say thanks to all of you that have stuck around.
Listened to us in our journeys.
We started this podcast, oh wow, in March, 9 months ago.
And here we are.
And here we are, still enjoying it, still finding random stuff to talk about. And we're loving every minute of it. Loving every minute of it.
What is that from? That's a song. I know that.
It's an 80s song, I think.
I should know it. I don't.
I'll look it up and I'll send it to you later.
Do it. Let me know what's happening.
Anyways.
In the meantime.
In the meantime,
we just want to say one more time before we say goodbye, shout out our boy Ravi. Ravi's doing some cool stuff. I'm digging the stuff he's putting out. Did you see the beat he made with his dad?
Oh my gosh, that was so cool.
I was like, I'd love it. It's just,
wow, I just
so quick. Yeah,
I watched it like 6 times. I was Ravi, like, how are you just you. Sitting there and just doing it? Like, you're just doing the thing. It's crazy.
And on that note,
goodbye,
everybody.
Bye, everybody. Ooh.